Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. Final hour together today on this Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. Glad you are here. I've just been, you know, doing cable laps and checking out various segments. And there's a guy I really like. He's a former NYPD investigator named Paul Morrow. And he's on Fox every once in a while. I'll probably play him a little bit going into just for a little point counterpoint up against Democrat State Rep Gina Hinojosa, who cannot for the life of her imagine why the president of UT. They probably were shocked. Texas liberals probably were pretty shocked to find a liberal university actually willing to say no to the setup of a Columbia-style squalid tent city there on the green space at UT in Austin. I was thrilled. Austin remains a leftist enclave. UT remains just a minefield of liberalism. You know, you're throwing your money at a UT education, just stand warned, because it's going to be filled with woke nonsense, filled with all manner of things that have made college just a stigma-filled decision for many, and that sends people out looking for, you know, educations at Dallas Baptist and Hillsdale and Patrick Henry and schools where that kind of nonsense doesn't happen. So for the UT president, Jay Hartzell, to step up and say we're going to have a police response to this threat of Columbia University style of shenanigans, good for him. Good for him. And it's funny because conservatives and all, man, not just conservatives, but sensible people are backing him. And yet there are those who say he's just somehow done something terrible. The protests were only going to be peaceful. Oh, really? Is that how that's worked out on most college campuses? Of course there's a window for peaceful protest. Of course there should not be viewpoint discrimination on college campuses. I mean, we as conservatives, we're the ones who've said this. As conservative guests and voices have been shut down day after day and time after time and year after year, we're the ones who've been saying that college should be about a vigorous exchange of ideas. But when one side and the actual organizers of the UT protests telegraph in their Instagram posts, you know, together with our comrades at Columbia, we too are going to take back our university. Take back from whom? So people are just mightily disillusioned that at UT, they put a hook, one might say, into the plans for further trouble. 866-660-5759. We're in Fort Worth. David, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. I wasn't expecting that right away. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been watching this nonsense going on for the last couple of weeks, and there's been a number of reports in the press, mostly in the conservative press, of how these organizations that are funding these protests are coming from dark money, you know, from the Soros and from the Rockefeller brothers and so forth, that go to these foundations that are then fed to these various groups. The thing that I'm wondering is, why are some of the individuals that are in control of some of these groups that actually advocate for the genocide of the Jewish people, why aren't they put in on the terrorist watch list at least? How come they're not being investigated? That's what I want to know.
There should be a proper and appropriate negative attention paid to those who have this kind of advocacy on their mind. I don't just mean taking the Palestinian side of a global land dispute. I mean literal pro-Hamas, literal October 7th didn't happen, literal river to the sea. Absolutely. Now, the terrorist watch lists are supposed to be ideally for people whose activism and activities have led to witnessable things that they have plotted to do, actually done, taken steps toward doing, that involve actual terrorist acts. And so I guess there's a certain bar you should meet before being on a terrorist watch list. I mean, where do you think that ought to be?
considering what's going on, I think the individuals that are actively promoting the genocide. Now, I'm very sensitive to this. My now former deceased spouse was Jewish, so my children are Jewish, and it bothers me.
I can hear it, and I can feel it, and I can and there's a, God bless you. Of course it does. And it's like we're always walking a line and being in our vigilance toward terrorism of being not attentive enough, what everybody calls the September 10th mentality. We all remember how comfortable and, you know, just how satisfied and self-confident we were that this kind of thing couldn't happen. And then, of course, the Tuesday morning of 9/11 happened. Now we've got rabid, violent anti-Semitism right in front of our faces. And you properly ask what kind of things can be done about that in order to prevent some kind of horrible act happening in our midst. David, thank you. I appreciate it very much. And it's not a rhetorical question. So what can we do? All right. Here's what I hope are there's a sensible answer or two. If indeed the problem starts with protests that have a violent aim, a violent goal, and by advocacy of the eradication of Israel is a violent goal. If you stand there and don't hurt anybody or touch anybody and advocate for the violent destruction of Israel, that is something that should be beyond the pale for any college campus. There are, of course, we have free speech. Of course we do. But if some group comes out there and says, hey, let's hang all the blacks. Oh, it's just speech. We're not actually having lynchings. Now, please, you know that's not going to fly, nor should it fly. So if indeed speech is where the problem begins, then we have to have universities that are willing to take a stand as to what kind of pronouncements are going to be against university policy and have them stick by that. And then when you get to the promise of actual violence, actual disruption, actual unrest, which is the steps that UT took, looking at Columbia, looking at other campuses and saying, not here, then that's a line in the sand that also must be drawn. And if you've done a bad job of that at your university, and this is what we saw over the weekend, there's a bunch of videos of just kids, well, some kids, some not, just being dragged by their heels out of these stupid tents in these tent cities. Oh, who thought that was going to go well? And we're not done. We are not done. I mentioned Paul Morrow, the former NYPD investigator. He was on Fox just literally in the last hour with Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino saying, look, because of what lies ahead on the calendar, we're not done.
So if you're the police and the president of Colombia calls, you have to turn up just as if a citizen calls 911 and says to come in, right? So, and that's what happened initially. They made 100 arrests. The problem was that they were only trespass arrests, which is just a summons. It's a glorified parking summons. And as a result, all the protesters were back the next day. Ultimately, what happened? They decided they were going to go to remote learning. And so there's nobody on campus but the protesters. So if they want to turn Columbia University, a private school, where there's no Jewish students left to harass because everybody's off doing remote learning, then I think the feeling is let them turn it into a squalid third world tent encampment. It's going to be 85 degrees today, 110 in those camps. And I think the calculus is at some point, because a lot of this is very performative, if there's nobody there to watch and take video, they're all going to go home. The problem is I think they're wrong. At a lot of these other schools where that is still in session, Jewish students are being harassed. They're being impeded. There's rugby lines standing in front of them so they can't get to class. It's going to get worse. We got May Day Wednesday. Worse.
May 1st, big time. Socialist Christmas, May Day, May 1. How's that going to go?
Not over.
Not over. It's not over at all. So what's the university near you going to do about it? So the university near us, down 35 in Austin, did the right thing. And that means they are catching grief from a certain side. The state rep who's where the UT campus is in her district, District 49, Gina Hinojosa, was asked this by Jason Whiteley on Inside Texas Politics over the weekend. Her answer is instructive. And, of course, hearing from you always is 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's where you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. It's 918. So Right after graduating from high school, Linda Ronstadt puts out her Hasten Down the Wind album with her version of Willie Nelson's Crazy. 1961, Patsy Cline had some success with that.
I'm crazy.
And Willie Nelson wrote it.
Crazy for feeling so lonely.
Got to play this whole thing. I'll let you do that on your own time. Willie Nelson's birthday. We're throwing him some love. Okay, so Gina Hinojosa, District 49, her district contains the UT campus, and she apparently had a conversation with the university president, Jay Hartzell, as the UT president stood up for order on his campus while Gina had other plans. My buddy Jason Whiteley spoke to her over the weekend.
I want to ask you about something that the UT president, Jay Hartzell, said the other day in his statement. He said, quote, "Our rules matter," talking about the campus, "and they will be enforced. Our university will not be occupied."
Exactly. Exactly. And good for him. Who in the world could be against that? Answer is Gina.
What's your reaction to that?
I think the way the university and our officers, DPS officers, responded was reckless and put our students in harm's way.
It was reckless and put our students in harm's way. Whereas laying back and doing nothing, that would have been totally responsible and proper, and letting these hooligans run roughshod over the green spaces of UT, that would have been better. Really?
I understand there are rules,
yeah,
but the university inviting in DPS troopers on horseback, from what I could tell, looked to be about 100 to confront peaceful protesters.
What's a peaceful protester? B, had the other protests been peaceful? No. And C, the event had been called off. The dean of students the previous day had said, "Your event is canceled. We are not going to do this." And they didn't do it out of viewpoint discrimination or they don't like the Palestinians. They did it because their language of the actual protest organizers involved solidarity with their comrades at Columbia, and that we too will be taking back our university. That is the language of disruption, the language of potentially violent protest. So you don't wait for this to happen. You make it clear with a police presence that it's not going to. And that's what that police presence did. And the escalation was from students who ignored the university's directive and showed up anyway.
Not broken any laws. That was uncalled for. It was reckless, and it put our kids in harm.
Said that twice. Thank you.
Okay.
Have you heard from the university president at all in your official capacity?
I've talked to him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And did you express this? And what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did have a very candid conversation with him about this. And he said that the events happening across the country on other college campuses,
yes,
are what inspired him,
yes,
to invite DPS officers onto our campus.
And it's not like he just watched TV clips and went, "Ooh, we don't want this," which I even think that would have been justified. The actual organizers of the UT protest had incendiary language in their promotional materials that telegraphed all over the place that this was exactly the kind of disruptive garbage behavior that they intended to bring to the UT campus in Austin. And he said no.
And my response to that is, yes, we are all seeing sensationalized news from across the country.
I'm sorry, what? Sensationalized? Do you believe, as you've examined Jew haters forming an entire impenetrable line preventing Jewish students from crossing it from one part of campus to another, as you have seen people screaming at cops, throwing things at cops? I'm sorry, is that sensationalized? Real, what exactly is the definition of sensationalized?
But we know our community. We know this community at UT Austin. And from what we experience, from what we know, These were peaceful protesters.
What do you magically know about them? And again, even if we stipulate 80, 90% of folks just wanted to get out and spread some leaflets and talk about how put upon the Palestinians are. If just 10% of it's troublemakers, you got a riot.
And the state cannot take a preemptive act of arresting people, Texans, because they fear they're going to commit a crime.
They actually can with the precise procedures, that, because not in anticipation like Minority Report future crime, but the university had said, this is forbidden. This is forbidden. We've taken a look at this, and the permission to do this is thus rescinded. And the point the following morning, where students showed up, flipping the middle finger to that university directive, that was the provocative act.
And that's exactly what happened yesterday. And the freedoms, the liberties of our students were violated.
Gina Hinojosa, District 49. She is just so full of it. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So, again, I'll all day long. I don't know how many things out of the UT, the culture at Austin that I'm going to have to say good things about, but the university president shutting that. Oh, faculty council, then immediately, now they're looking for his head on a platter. So we'll see how that works out. All right, let me take the pause, hop into the newsroom, and we'll go back to some calls, 866-660-5759. And, of course, a potential VP alert. While DeSantis met with Trump over the weekend, J.D. Vance on the TV box talking Ukraine and various other things, and we'll listen into him as well. All this and more, and we'll listen to you as well at 866-660-5759. Your calls, more of your calls next, 931. Here is Nikki Whaley in the newsroom. You know, sometimes you just need some Jethro Tull. In the shuffling madness, this is one of those times. From Aqualung, Little Locomotive Breath.
The all-time loser. Headlong true his death.
3866-660-5759. So if the weekend yielded a Trump-DeSantis meeting, which makes me tingly, thinking about the possibility of that ticket, is it possible? This is just me now. I mean, I've got a wide net cast out there. The Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing is kind of interesting. The Elise Stefanik thing is kind of interesting if we're looking for a woman. Lee Zeldin up in New York remains a great idea. I think Byron Donalds is just outside my first concentric circle of desirability, I think, for a Trump running mate. I think right now my coin flip of the moment is between DeSantis and J.D. Vance. And Vance was on Fox News. Say what you will about Fox News. They do indeed try to bring guests with divergent views. And I don't just mean Republicans and Democrats. These days, I mean Republicans and Republicans. Last week, they had Lindsey Graham on, bagging on J.D. Vance. And this Sunday, they had J.D. Vance on answering to having been bagged upon. That's the proper usage by Lindsey Graham. That's in a minute. But right now in Dallas, Jeff, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. Doing well.
Hi.
Just a couple of things real quick, and sure, I'll let you continue my comment. Mm-hmm. So there's a little TikTok girl in Iraq. Her name was Fahad. That's what she went by. She was killed for making comments on TikTok. That's the third death in most recent couple of weeks. Then there's a dude over in Iran that stood up for a real famous 33-year-old rapper. He was just sentenced to death. The treatment of anybody that disagrees with Hamas, the Iranian government, the radical Muslims, they want you off the earth. Basically, every protester at a college campus or in the United States of America that's protesting against Israel doesn't understand that the people they're supporting want them dead.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite things was drag queens for Palestine. On some, it's like, it was like, what? It sounds like an SNL skit. But it's like, wait a minute, just try, or just, you don't need even drag queens. Anybody who's gay, anybody who's LGBTQ friendly, anybody who's an ally, and you're out there at one of these pro-Hamas rallies, they throw people off of buildings just for being gay. This is the side you are on, and they just seem oblivious.
Well, if you're Christian, if you're atheist, if you're Catholic, if you're Jewish, they want you dead. If you're Buddhist, if you're not Muslim, you're gone.
That's this. And again, I'm always going to guard against painting with too broad a brush, but precisely the viewpoint that you described is systemic in the side of the Israel versus Hamas conflict that they have cozied up to. Jeff, thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. Okay, so time tunnel. 1 week ago, Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, she does a great job, had Lindsey Graham on and presented Senator Graham with the sort of J.D. Vance and others' concerns about the endless money pit of Ukraine, and asked Senator Graham about that.
So with all due respect to Senator Vance, he's wrong. We were told within 4 days, Kyiv would fall.
But is he wrong about the math?
Yeah,
is he wrong about the production?
He's wrong about the whole concept that we can't deal with multiple problems.
Okay, so time to have J.D. Vance on in reply to Lindsey Graham.
To rebut the argument, they often end up making it for me, Shannon. The argument that I'm making is quite simple. It's not that we don't admire the courageousness of the Ukrainians. We certainly do. It's that America is stretched too thin. We do not have the industrial capacity to support a war in Ukraine, a war in Israel, potentially a war in East Asia if the Chinese invade Taiwan. So America has to pick and choose. And by the way, Shannon, some of the very people who shipped America's manufacturing base overseas to China in the first place, who weakened our ability to manufacture our own weapons, are now the same people who are saying we can get involved in three wars at once. The math doesn't make sense. We're stretched too thin. We've got to focus. And the last point I'll make on this is, if we focus on East Asia, if we focus on containing the Chinese, the Europeans can step up in Europe. Germany still, after Donald Trump demanded it, still doesn't spend 2% of GDP on defense. A lot of the NATO countries have allowed their own industrial might to atrophy. So why are Americans subsidizing European security? We should be focused on our own problems, and that's mostly China.
Okay.
Boom. But and it's moments of well-spoken clarity like that, as well as, what is he, 39, that add up to the great interest that I have in J.D. Vance as one of my faves as Trump running mate. The other thing about Europe is, because this is a European problem, but Europe is far more interested in funneling taxpayer dollars into social programs and so-called free health care and any one of a number of other big government nightmares, then they don't have any money left to defend their own borders, especially when Big Daddy, Deep Pockets USA is there to do their job for them.
A couple of things there.
Sure.
That memo also cites the commander of the Indo-Pacific region and says we can manage the munitions. In a way, you're talking about having multiple fronts going. We can do that. The more dangerous situation is to let Putin feel like he gets a win in Ukraine and that emboldens Xi in that particular region.
Well, Shannon, I'm a child of, 2003. And I remember when generals stepped up and said that our war policy in 2003 was a joke and all of them had their careers ruined. So I think we have to look at this honestly as policymakers and ask ourselves the tough questions. Unfortunately, you have to ask yourself, is China going to be more dissuaded by us thumping our chest and acting tough in Europe? Or are they going to be more dissuaded by us having the weapons necessary to prevent them from invading Taiwan? My argument is the Chinese are focused on real power. They're not focused on how tough people talk on TV or how strong our alleged resolve is. They're focused on how strong we actually are. And to be strong enough to push back against the Chinese, we've got to focus there. And right now, we're stretched too thin.
And so many people are trotting out the Reagan legacy. And by the way, the Reagan legacy is a good thing to trot out at any given point if you're a conservative, but it needs to make sense. Earlier in today's program, you heard Mitch McConnell invoke Reagan as if Reagan would be completely on board for emptying our arsenals and our treasury into this Ukrainian gambit. Reagan's not available for comment right now, and I wouldn't purport to do the same presumptuous thing in reverse and say that I somehow know that he would be as against it as J.D. Vance is. I don't know. But there is nothing necessarily in Reagan's peace through strength hymnal that he constantly, read from that suggests that he'd be on board for stretching us as thinly as we are stretched when China and the Middle East are both dangling as threats before us. The way that Reagan meant and the way that it's one of the greatest old adages is that the most effective weapon is the one that you don't have to use. And if the Chinese see us arming ourselves smartly, not spreading ourselves too thinly. You want to know what emboldens President Xi? Watching us dump billions on Zelensky's head and throw more equipment into a quagmire that we cannot in which we cannot prevail. That makes the evil Chinese communist government rub its hands together with glee. If we prioritize with greater wisdom and say, look, I mean, we may help negotiate a settlement that brings this war to an end in Ukraine, freeing up money, materiel, and our attention span to focus on you, China. That is the kind of thing that's a real deterrent.
What about the argument as well that Putin will go beyond Ukraine? And if he does and touches on NATO territory, we are then obligated and pulled in. So the argument is invest now, help Ukraine now. Don't let our troops get pulled into an Article 5 situation.
Sure. So I understand this argument, Shannon, but unfortunately, I don't think it really passes muster. So people who want us to put limitless resources into Ukraine, they want us to believe two things at once. On the one hand, they want us to believe the Ukrainians are on the verge of victory in the far eastern part of Ukraine. On the other hand, they want us to believe that Vladimir Putin is about to march all the way to Paris. You can't believe both of those things at the same time. And the reality is the Ukrainians have showed that Putin is a lot weaker than people feared. And importantly, they've shown that if the Europeans are willing to step up and take more responsibility for their own defense, they can handle Putin. Let us focus on China.
Boom. Boom. See, I got to tell you, anybody who I'm enthused about being Trump's running mate, that there's a direct correlation there to my enthusiasm about that person being the 48th president of the United States, sworn in January 20th, 2029. And this is the worldview that we need, proper prioritization. I believe this is the Trump view. I believe it's the DeSantis view. And once again, we get to the whole psychological concept of deterrence. And if there is a settlement and an admittedly weakened Putin regime, that's why there is a stalemate. That's why it is a quagmire. That's why he has not steamrolled over all of Ukraine in these 2+ years. And that is remarkable. And the Ukrainian folks and all of us who have helped the Ukrainian folks deserve some credit for holding Putin at bay. But they're not going to drive him from the country. And if there is a settlement that is reached and the European nations make clear that they're not going to tolerate him marching through the rest of Ukraine or all the way to Paris, as J.D. Vance said, and they're willing to back it up with real money and real armament and a real commitment, that's a deterrent to Putin.
Okay, this new aid package, which you voted against, sure, also includes aid for Israel, which you were clearly for.
Yep.
We've got a new video out with a couple of hostages. One of them is an Israeli-American. Do you feel like this administration is doing the wisest, the best, the most that it can to get all hostages released?
No, I don't, Shannon. Look, if you want to get these hostages released, you've got to, first of all, enable Israel to actually finish the job.
Thank you.
And second of all, put America's diplomatic weight behind and on Hamas, right? Pressure Hamas to release these hostages. Don't use America's diplomatic leverage to effectively cause the Israelis to pull back here. I think it's really shameful and shows, frankly, that a lot of folks don't respect the United States of America, that that we have still have citizens that are being held hostage, and our president, instead of focusing on getting those hostages back, is focused on micromanaging one of our allies' war efforts, I guess so that he can placate these crazy people who are protesting on college campuses.
Bingo, J.D. Vance. So whether it's J.D. Vance or Byron Donalds or Sarah Huckabee Sanders, maybe even somebody that I'm less into, I'm absolutely willing to have somebody sort of elbow his or her way onto my favorites list for Trump VP. And this ain't far away, man. May starts in a couple of days. Republican convention in Milwaukee, middle of July. Answers, we will have them soon. Alrighty, 950. So what's the Willie record on Willie's 91st birthday? I'm going to go deep into that library. What's going to take us out? We'll all find out together next. Refrain. So as the 70s were winding down, and some of country music's rowdiest material was coming through the pipeline, and Willie had just finished the Waylon and Willie album with Mama Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, etc., etc. What does Willie Nelson do? Says, I tell you what, how about if I put my twist on some venerable old American standards? Stardust, Georgia on My Mind, Blue Skies, All of Me, September Song. Let's see how that works out. Worked out really well.
In my heart, there always will remain.
So from the pen and mind of Hoagy Carmichael,
my star,
written in 1927 and given to us by Willie in 1978.
The memory of love's refrain.
For our producer Rhonda K. Moreland, fresh off her Nashville Marathon triumph, 5 hours-ish, personal best, way to go. And on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. And thank all of you for listening. Let's see what happens today and talk about it tomorrow, shall we? God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic day. Mike Gallagher is next. See you tomorrow, 7 o'clock for the Tuesday show. Be good.
In vain. In my heart, there always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.